You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all The Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Shane Bieber, Cy Young, a legitimate Cy Young, yes or no, 216-474-9090. Terrible. You people are terrible. It is a legitimate Cy Young. It just doesn't, it's not as much as the other Cy Youngs, which now I know he's in the area and he might be driving around and I don't want to say anything more. Shane, you are a well-loved man here in the area.
How do you know he's in the area?
I have sauces that have said that he may still be in the region. And so I don't want him to get in his car. Let's hear some sports talk radio and hear what my legacy is about. It is a legitimate Cy Young. It's like, buddy, you got the award. I don't. Nobody else does, okay? Congratulations.
He got that truck, too, didn't he?
Yes. Does he still have the truck?
And that crystal baseball bat.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, you got to be careful moving that thing. You're going to need Keith Hernandez and Jerry Seinfeld to help you move that one. Come on, Shane. Laugh. It's funny. Hey, we're downtown. If you want to come down here and give an exit interview, I will clear the schedule.
Yeah, he's got to be on the way.
I'll kick Daryl's ass right out of here at 821.
You have to drive right past the studio to get to Toronto.
Yeah, you do. You can't. It's right along I-90, bud. Okay? Unless you're taking Windsor, and then that's just not good planning.
You could take a boat. Go through the locks and make its way up.
I wasn't
to Kelly's Island and then flip a right.
I wasn't upset about Shane Bieber being traded, just for the simple fact is I didn't think that they were going to be able to hold on to him. I think that what Lima said about it was right. It feels like found money, but I think we're in this fight, and we've been this way for the last several years, and certainly this year, where there are, I think, people who are accused of not being hardcore Indians fans or not knowing baseball and not knowing what this team's about, and people who are saying that those people have their head in the sand about the Guardians and just will eat up anything the Guardians give. I think that this year, especially, when I say the season isn't over, they go, wait a minute, haven't you just been yelling at the Dolans over the last couple of months over what's going on? Yeah, but the season's not over. I still don't excuse the non-action during the offseason. Just because you're telling me there's a lockout in 2027 doesn't give you an excuse.
That's not going to work really well with fans.
I don't give a bleep about your planning, and neither does Matt Derry, it seems.
I'm frustrated. I'm breathing a sigh of relief like you guys. Season is not over. You're right. Guardians only three out of the wild card. They're right there. But did they add any pieces? Did they go get another bat? It doesn't make any sense. I don't think they're trying. I don't think they're going to try next year either. The Dolans and a bevy of owners, I would probably say a good 70% of the baseball owners are ready to shut this thing down in 2027, and a countdown is on. And unfortunately, we're grouped in that mix.
Ooh, that's Matt Derry. Hear more of him, 92.3thefan.com and the free Odyssey app.
Yeah. And to that, what is every fan going to say? We'll sell the team.
Yes!
Which Minnesota
is selling the team.
Holy cow. Holy cow, did they just gut everything. They're gutting payroll for next year.
They said, we can't afford it. We're selling the team.
All in anticipation of this. We already saw, by the way, the White Sox, you know, they divested and the ESPYs came in. You saw it with Baltimore. Like, there are a bunch of people getting out. Boy, when this happens in the NBA, people sound alarms. Like, why is Mark Cuban selling? What's wrong with the NBA? Why are the Celtics and Lakers selling? It's like, have you seen baseball? The Rays just sold for 1.7. Like, people are worried about the lack of local money.
But you
like,
see this?
They are really worried because baseball has been able to stay propped up as, call it a regional sport or whatever, but it was that people watch their team, so they profited off of that. Well, that is gone with the extinction of the cable model.
I think you may be onto something there with what you said about David Blitzer. I almost called him Wolf. David Blitzer and Paul Dolan yesterday, where they might not be too thrilled about where each other are on the price. Because when things are, like, you always hear in a recession, what do people do and what do business people do in a recession? They buy things. When things aren't good, because they buy it at a lower price. The Twins are looking to get out. Who can afford these teams anymore? Look, by the way, look at ownerships now. It used to be, hey, it's the Johnson family, and they own this. I know there's Woody Johnson who actually does own the Jets, so I should use it. It's the Allottomans. Oh, the Allottomans, yeah. They owned a chain of department stores, and now they became the owner of the Cleveland Indians, now the Cleveland Guardians. It isn't like that as much as it used to be. You're seeing ownership groups now. The Haslam Sports Group owning multiple sports franchises. You're seeing Josh Harris and David Blitzer, and you're hearing about Ishbia getting involved in more teams. Dan Gilbert owning multiple teams eventually here. Like, you're seeing more sports groups that are owning it. So now you'll get the bottleneck going on. Well, if they're coming in, it almost turns into the corporate raiders who are coming in to buy these properties, and they're going to run these properties as a business. So there is a tug and pull with all this, and it's always been the weird, complicated history of Paul Dolan. There's a lot about Paul Dolan that you can like. There's one huge thing about Paul Dolan that nobody really likes, and it's that, no, he's just never going to go all in. He's never going to go into the red. All in to him is 2017, and that was still not satisfying enough for a lot of the fan base. And he's not going to do it consistently over that period of time. And he's had John Sherman to help him out at that time. Mm-hmm. Now he's supposed to have David Blitzer at this time. But what's David Blitzer going to put into when we're about to have a labor lockout coming up here in a couple of years? And we don't know the television deal that's going to be pounded out here.
By the way, even that year, 2017, they were 13th in payroll. It was $132 million. And that year you had the Dodgers at $259, Boston at $209.
Well, at least the Dodgers didn't win the World Series that year.
I know.
Got that going for us.
It's just you never, if that's the closest thing you're going to get to it, I don't think you're just never going to see this team go out of their way as constituted. They are like a third of the league. There's 10 teams in this league. There's 10 owners under the current setup who are not going to spend.
I think there's even more than that. Being pretty generous with that. I think there's just a handful of teams that are willing to go way over and beyond, and they are in major markets. But that said, they don't move Stephen Kwan yesterday. I know there were several people saying that it was a white flag. I don't think trading away Paul Sewald is a white flag. I don't think that trading away Shane Bieber is a white flag. Stephen Kwan still being in this lineup helps save the season for me.
Well, at least to keep you interested.
Yeah,
right?
Like, well, it's not just like if you can get to the postseason, it really saves the season for me to get mad all over again. Because if they do get to the postseason, I guarantee you I will be sitting here after they get bounced in the postseason going, what did they do last offseason? And last offseason has a direct correlation into this coming postseason. Nobody thought they were going to be able to turn it around after a while. They had a 10-game losing streak. They're able to turn the damn thing around, and then you didn't do what was necessary to give them help, and so we just made another postseason appearance, which they don't fall off of trees, but they just got you to care enough to make you angry.
Yeah, you just got me thinking. If they did make that run that Owen predicted they would make, you know, right around the All-Star break, given their schedule, I mean, look, you got a series coming up against the Twins. Who's even on the Twins,
they
right?
They traded 9 of their 26-man roster.
You have another chance to win a series. If they win this series, they will have won, what, 5 of the last 6?
Yeah.
6 of the last 7? Okay, so if they do make that run, Kenny, are you saying this town is not going to get swept? This time, they're not going to get swept up because they're so upset.
No. Yeah, I do believe that. I don't believe they're going to get swept up. They got swept up in it last year. I think it was a lot of fun. You'll have a sellout in the postseason if you host home playoff games in the postseason.
I would hope so.
You will have a sellout, but it won't be like it was before because I don't think people will give it the chance. I think they'll look at this, and it's going to be frustrating for Owen, and I think it's going to be frustrating for a lot of people who are Guardians first fans because, hey, if you get into the postseason, we'll see how the dice roll. But I think for a lot of fans, they'll treat it like college football. Yeah, Indiana made the postseason, but do they really have a chance? Like, there's wins just count as wins. So the Twins, it's just a win if they win tonight. But it doesn't matter because, hey, you know, they traded away 11 guys out of their 26-man roster. And you know what? You won some games against Baltimore, but obviously they've hit the bleeps. And you look at what the rest of the schedule looks like and a couple of these other teams. And, hey, you know, you're not really seeing. Like, there's a difference here with a lot of fans this
season. I'll be interested to see what tonight, Friday night game that has been very well attended. The weekends have been very well attended this summer. I'll be interested to see what it feels like in there. I think we're going tonight. It has been, you know, weeknight games, they say 22. It doesn't always feel like that. 22, 24, somewhere around there. It feels like it's 15, maybe. Weekends have felt very crowded, and I wonder if the way that the week played out from Class A to all this other stuff is going to affect the feeling inside the ballpark tonight.
I bet, will people go just to see Stephen Kwan again?
Yeah, I wonder if it's a thank God he's still here type of welcome home even though you never left.
I'd be willing to, if they trade away Stephen Kwan, there'd definitely be a lot of people going, bleep this, I ain't going.
There would be one family I know for sure would not have attended tonight.
And there's a lot of people, there's a lot of people in that family, so.
Yeah.
You think about that.
You know how many hot dogs we buy during Dollar Tree?
There are eight people in that family over in Avon Lake that goes to those games. That's a lot of folks you're losing on a dollar dog night, folks. Take that into consideration when you were thinking about trading away Stephen Kwan. But I think there are going to be a lot of people going, okay, they kept Stephen Kwan, got the Twins in town. The Twins traded how many people? We got a win coming up. I think they'll do that better for the now. But as we go through the season, and then when you get to the postseason, yeah, there will be some excitement. I don't think it'll be Guardians fever. There'll be typical postseason excitement. Now, if they get to the ALCS, I think things would change. But if they're just a wild card team, I think people are going to go, wait a minute here. And if they lose in the wild card, if they lose in the LDS, I may look at it and go, boy, you guys really overachieved, but you're still mad at ownership for not doing what was necessary to help you get over the hump. You know, you're an ALCS team. That sets a standard. And if you weren't able to do that, if you weren't willing to do that, that's the thing. Not able, but willing. If you weren't willing to do that, that's not going to sit right with your fan base because they don't care about you getting ready for 2027. No one prepares for the future like the Cleveland Guardians. They've been doing it for 78 years.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
I smell a nasty microphone, but I also smell a training camp report.
Training camp coverage powered by Classic Ford and Classic Chevy and Mentor.
Before COVID, you guys all used to sit there and like talk into the same mic screen. It was like, good God, you guys are disgusting. Resting your mouths on the same mic screen. A bunch of grown men being nasty. Anyway, so I got a lot of heat from the outside. This is a bizarre time for Browns fans, guys. You got to understand this. I got a lot of heat. Didn't get as much heat as I thought I was going to get. We ended up making the New York Post yesterday, Tone. Congratulations on all our success.
Oh, all right. What was it, talking about Stephen Kwan?
No, it was talking about Dylan. No, it was talking about Shedeur Sanders, obviously.
He's the gift that keeps on giving.
Can I level with fans here for a moment? I don't think I need to level with Browns fans. I don't think I do. Maybe they don't trust the Browns, and the Browns don't deserve to be trusted. They're 3-14. So maybe that's part of this whole thing that I don't want to recognize here. So yesterday, I get pretty animated over Shador Sanders in this belief that the Browns are sabotaging Shador, or they're doing what they can to hurt Shador, break Shador, according to Uncle Luke, right? And I went, hold on. I can't sit there and scream and yell and berate at people every single day. I don't know, I've been doing it for 14 years. Maybe I can continue doing it. But I'm not going to do it. Can I level with the Shador fans out there?
Day two of trying to level with the Shador fans.
I didn't try to level with him yesterday. I tried to beat the sense down into everybody and say what this situation is, and nobody wanted to listen to it. Even Browns fans I was yelling at it about. I shouldn't yell. I'm not going to yell here. This is not a yell. Hey, it's like a fight when you have a fight with your wife, and it's like, hey, let's talk here. Let's sit at the kitchen table.
So you don't think yesterday sunk in appropriately?
Like not with the people who are just joining into being Browns fans because of Shador. I want to level with those folks right now. Okay? Can we do that? Owen, can I do that?
I will allow it.
Let me try to reason with you guys. You don't trust the Browns. Okay. No reason to. I'm not even saying to trust the Browns. My whole point was I don't believe that they are going to try to break a guy on purpose. That's not the issue. If you don't think the Browns are good at evaluating quarterbacks, well, there is 25 plus years of evidence that would tell you that they're really not. But let me ask you this. When you guys give me the argument about the reps and the lack that he gets, I want to ask Daryl about this at 8:21 as well this morning. What is the other team in this league that has this magical amount of reps? Correction. I use the term magical. Now I'm being sarcastic and cynical and nasty.
Yeah, come on. Let's get back to...
Let me be nice. I'm sorry. Let me communicate better than that.
Brass
tacks
here, Kenny. Come on.
What is the other team that can offer Shador Sanders the same amount of reps as the Cleveland Browns? There is a dead silence in the room.
Maybe one team I can think of.
I thought of one team.
As currently constituted?
I thought of one team that might.
We're probably thinking of the exact same team.
New Orleans Saints.
Yeah, the Saints.
There's one team I thought that might be able to offer the same amount, but they have Tyler Shuck, and they're getting him ready. They took him. Where did they took Tyler Shuck? Second round, yes, earlier this year? They took Tyler Shuck in the second round. Now, I agree with you. Shador Sanders is not a fifth-round talent. For whatever reason in the NFL, 216-474-0092, let me meet you halfway. I don't believe that Shador Sanders sucks.
Maybe the Jets.
And I was thoroughly surprised that he ended up in the fifth round. Something's weird here. But the Saints need a quarterback. Saints took Tyler Shuck. They have Spencer Rattler. They have Jake Haener. And I don't believe that they have all these reps that the Browns are 1 week in starting to really give Shador Sanders. You brought up the Jets. Who do the Jets got in their depth chart there?
Justin Fields.
Okay, well, he's going to get the reps as long as his toe's okay. He needs the reps. He's not a 15. He's not a 17-year vet like Joe Flacco.
They've got Tyrod Taylor and Adrian Martinez.
Okay, well, we know from history that it seems like there's been 18,000 Adrian Martinez that have come from where? Nebraska?
Nebraska, right?
Yeah, thank you.
Martinez.
Told you. Champions pose on that one. We know from experience, Tyrod's going to get his reps. We know about that already, right? So the Jets can't give you as many reps as what the Browns can give them. And the Saints can't give him as many reps as the Browns can give him. And again, both these teams are quarterback needy teams. They passed on him.
Now, if he would have been taken, let's just say, let's be generous. Let's say second round. Would we have that same analysis about getting reps?
No, but he would be getting more reps. See, this is where, guys, with the Shador fans, I agree with you. I can meet you halfway on some. I don't know why he fell to the fifth round, guys. I can't explain it. The only thing I can think of is that he walked into certain meetings and gave double birds to some of these teams, which is something he would never do. So I don't understand why he did get to the fifth round. But he did get to the fifth round and got picked up by us. And I firmly believe we're the only team that can offer him the reps that he's getting. He's getting reps with the twos against the ones. It's been 1 week. Who knows what he's going to be getting reps with next
week? People have
got
to remember that. They are acting.
It's been 1 week.
This is a level of consumption in the NFL today in 2025. And people are so starved for anything football that what you just said is unbelievable. It's only been a week.
It's been a week.
Kenny, it feels like it's been a month. It's only been a week. And so fans do have to understand that. Like, it's so early. And the one knock, and I don't know what's true and what's not, but the one knock about Shador was maybe not ready, whiteboard, all that stuff. Maybe not ready right away.
Yeah, but I've seen other guys be not ready for the whiteboard and certainly go way before the fifth round.
Oh, 100%.
Yes.
100%. We were all shocked. I mean, this show was talking about him as a potential number two overall pick at one point.
This whole station was. I think this whole city was talking about him as a potential number two overall
pick. But I will say the reaction, just the fact that it made the New York Post at all and your rant got on there to begin with, there is, without a doubt, a Tim Tebow element here. Do you think that's like the level that he is getting talked about and the exposure and how big of a fan base he cultivated in the college game? Like, there is, I am sensing.
There's a difference, though.
I am. So, well, one was taken in the first round.
Yeah, I know. And I was, you know what? I'm shocked that Shador fell to the fifth, and I was damn sure shocked that Tim Tebow went in the first round. And the second thing I'll add to this, and I'll let you take that part over, because I know you've been thinking, I can tell you've been thinking about this for a while. I have way more faith in Shador Sanders as a that can become a starting franchise NFL quarterback than I ever had in Tim Tebow. Wins and losses, I know. Wins and losses you give to backups. You don't give that to franchise guys. I have way more faith in Shador Sanders than I ever had in Tim Tebow. Both good guys. Tim Tebow's obviously a walking saint on earth. Not saying that they're bad guys. I got way more faith that Shador Sanders can be a franchise quarterback than I ever did with Tim Tebow. Not in the same ballpark to me.
See, it's interesting because Tim Tebow was, famously, had a huge playoff game.
Uh-huh.
Huge clutch touchdown throw in a playoff game. Was it against the Steelers?
Yes. So. Yeah.
So all the Steeler fans that are listening to us instead of you know, Pittsburgh radio, salting the wounds there.
They did send 11 against him. It was pretty easy to just throw it over the defense.
He did it. He made it happen.
I was in charge of that defense at the time.
Can I give you two other teams that maybe he would get reps with?
All right.
The Indianapolis Colts, maybe. They have Anthony Richardson. They have
Daniel Jones.
And maybe the Raiders.
The Raiders are a wild-ass team. But why didn't those teams then take them higher than the fifth round?
Yeah, I agree.
So if they're all needy teams, like we took a quarterback in the third round, then we came back and we traded and took him in the fifth round. So that's what leads me to believe. You're right about those other teams, but I still don't believe that they could offer Shador as much as what the Cleveland Browns can offer him as far as opportunity.
Yeah, but they went and got Geno Smith. So what reps are you?
I'm not a Geno believer, but
no, I understand. But what reps are you talking about? Because you wouldn't if you went out and got Geno Smith.
Well, right now, if Kenny Pickett didn't get injured, right, he would be getting Shador would be getting no reps right now.
Apparently so.
So the reps he's getting right now are not real reps in my eyes.
I think we're all, and I'm going to take to the calls here coming up at 7:21. I promise you guys that. 216-474-0092. Did you have anything else to go on the Tebow thing before
The only reason I bring up Tim Tebow is because I am seeing a fan base from around the country, which is what Tebow had.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
There were plenty of people that did not think Tebow was even worth a first-round pick. They couldn't even believe he was taken where he was taken.
Mm-hmm.
But he was such a celebrity figure. He was an all-time great college football player. He might have been. Yeah, you rank him as maybe the best in our lifetime. He's right up there in terms of effectiveness in college football. I don't even know what he was. I mean, he was a quarterback. He was an H-back. He was a running back. I mean, he did all that. And he won one Heisman. You thought he could win two. And Ty Archie, that is what I am experiencing right now in terms of the feedback we are getting from fans that are not Browns fans, that are Shador Sanders first fans.
I think
Tim Tebow had a Tim Tebow first fandom.
I agree with you. I think that's I really do think that that's an apt comparison. I think he was the first one to have his own fans And now we're seeing a lot of guys with their own fans.
Yes, things are changing.
And there will be more Shedeur Sanders in the future and more Tim Tebows in the future than we've ever seen before. That's where college football is headed right now. I think we need to accept the truth, though, is that I still stand pat and I say, who was willing to offer more opportunity than the Cleveland Browns? Nobody. There's only one team that's willing to offer more opportunity than the Cleveland Browns. That's a professional football team, and that's the Toronto Argonauts. I'm not saying that to be mean. I'm not trying to make a joke, and I'm not trying to be mean-spirited here. But that's the situation. I don't agree with the rest of the NFL. I don't think that he should have been a fifth-round pick. I think he should have been taken higher. But for some reason, and maybe we're going to find out here starting next Friday against the Carolina Panthers, because he's damn sure going to play. Maybe we'll start to find that out then, or maybe we'll start to prove the NFL wrong. Hopefully the latter. The NFL has something against him. All 32 teams at some point said, not for us. The NFL has something against him. It is my belief. Whatever that may be, maybe they just think he's a bad quarterback. But the NFL has something against him. And so if it weren't with the Browns, who's it going to be with?
So while
he was in the fifth round, who was going to give him more opportunity if he were Sanders a sixth fans, or a seventh round pick?
While all the Sanders fans are saying they wish he would have gone anywhere but Cleveland today because they feel like it's been unfair. They've got some grievance against him. They're holding him back. They're sabotaging. That was the term that we took offense to yesterday. You, Ken Carmen, are saying today, thank God the Browns took him. Because where else was he going to get that opportunity?
It's the best opportunity he has. It's the most open job in the NFL. It's the only real, truly, what's supposed to be open job in the NFL. And I'm talking about being a backup. I'm not even talking about being a starter here. They should never have said, you know what? I disagree with Daryl. Daryl was right. They should have never said it was a four-way competition. It was a totally open competition. That was probably not the smart thing to do. The messaging was not right. But as far as being a backup, I think it's as open as it gets. And to give him that opportunity. And if you've got a 40-year-old quarterback that's starting the season who's a journeyman, we're not talking Aaron Rodgers here. You're on the fast track if you get that second quarterback job. So if he's able to beat out Dillon Gabriel and show what he has, guys, this is all going to be a waste of our time and our oxygen, arguing over reps in the first week of the season. I truly do believe, and talking to people who, by the way, are guys who cover the NFL, who are as cynical as they get about the Cleveland Browns, I will tell you this right now. Working the phones yesterday, because I'm listening to Jake Volnick. I'm driving around after football practice yesterday, and I'm listening to Jake. And it's not even Jake, it's the calls. And I go, what am I missing? And I got three people. Ken, you know what I think of the Browns. If I'm lying, I'm dying. On my kids. Ken, you know what I think of the Browns. They're doing 100% right by Shedeur. They're doing 100% right by him and giving him an opportunity. Because if he would have fallen to the sixth or seventh round, to me, if he would have fallen to the sixth or seventh round, he would have had even less of an opportunity. It's a packed room. It is very much a packed room. But he has a chance with this team that he just wouldn't have with anybody else. I can guarantee you that as long as he's able to conduct himself with professionalism, and he will, that he's going to play at some point in an NFL regular season game for the Cleveland Browns. You can't guarantee that with the 31 other teams. Can you? No. This is the best opportunity he has.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests.
Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies Rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
You feel bad for Steven Vogt? That was him right there. You feel bad for him? There's somebody else within the organization I'm starting to feel bad for. More of that coming up at around 8 o'clock. Go ahead.
Yeah, probably. I mean, I think Vogt probably thought they had a really good chance to be good again. I mean, when your first year as manager, you go to the ALCS, you're being crowned your manager of the year. You start maybe to believe some of the hype, and then, you know, nothing worked out coming back. I mean, you know, you're sitting here at 500. I don't want to make it seem like they're 20 games below or were the Rockies or anything. But
if they were 20 games below or we were the Rockies, we just wouldn't care. There'd be no reason to get mad. Well, if they were coming off of last year, there'd still be, but you would be apathetic now and be like, yeah, just go ahead and trade him. Obviously, this isn't working out. I don't want to trade him because we have some talent.
Like, Vogt, they started the year, Vogt thought they had enough to win. And so you could hear it through him just every day trying to put a positive spin. And we, to the point where we were getting frustrated.
Mm-hmm.
We were like, come on.
People were making the Stefanski argument and stuff like that. Yeah.
Come on. We're all watching the same game. We're all watching the same ineptitude with the lineup. And, you know, the Manzardo thing is hanging on him. I mean, this has been a long enough period of time where the guy, I think yesterday we saw he was second on the team in slugging percentage, but yet he's not an everyday player for them.
Well, I question that. And man, this is he. Like, I've heard you get mad about the Browns and the Cavs, and I'm waiting for it to happen with the Gardos. And it's not like you've been accepting. It's not like you've buried your head in the sand. That would be a supreme insult to you. But I think what you've made it very frustrating with is that you have chosen to trust almost implicitly what the front office has done. And there, this right now, as we are inside of 12 hours away from the trade deadline, this is becoming some of the most frustrating times for a Guardians fan who knew that they were close last year, who looked at the circumstances of the three other teams and where their payroll was compared to you, and the whole history that we've broken down several times since the end of the ALCS in Game 5. And so now we're here, and like even yesterday, Anthony, like I'm screaming at my computer. And I can't tweet anything back at people. Twitter Reaction is brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store, because there is the other side to it. And I imagine this is what Antonetti and Chernoff and everybody else would say, because I'm looking at the lineup going, where's Manzardo? Well, Ken, it's a lefty on the mound. I go, what does that got to do with the price of fish? The guy's got a near six ERA who they're pitching, who they're hitting against. What is that? So, and I said to you guys in the open, I go, we're three lefties in here. So if they just put my fat ass out there to just stand and throw meatballs, I guess they can't hit my Kyle Manzardo. And then there was another reason. Well, you know, Carlos Santana, they could be showcasing him. I'd go, at 39 years old, we're showcasing Carlos Santana, who is not the player he used to be the last two times that he was here. And that reasoning, while there's always going to be another side, that reasoning is frustrated. I don't think the Guardians are going out of their way to just make us mad. They're not making decisions just to upset their fan base. But it's frustrating where I see what the Cavs do. The Cavs are, they are a fantasy fan's dream. I mean, if you're a regular just Joe fan of basketball, they went, made a big trade. They're always in the conversation for other guys. For the love of God, for a frustrating time, they'll never be out on the LeBron conversation, no matter what. They'll never be out on that. And then the Browns, for better, for worse, again, we've talked about that. And these are two, and now with the second apron, these are two hard cap sports. And with baseball, I'm just told where, hey, you basically just have to try to enjoy the ride as best you can and hope instead of being competitive. So I can be a real competitive bastard about the other two sports. Real hard nose. But then when it comes to baseball, I just have to sit here and twiddle my thumbs. And Owen's over there getting ready to shoot blood out of his ears because he's so angry. And a lot of other people are doing the same thing in his section.
Part of it is, and I'll tell you this, this dates back because, you know, I lived out of market. And so baseball was like the first thing to go. Because, I mean, come on, Cavs had LeBron. Didn't matter where you lived in the world, you could see LeBron games. The NFL is a national product, so I was going to be able to see the Browns no matter what. That was never going to be a real issue. But baseball, it was tough to keep up with them, and I just, I was so down on baseball as a whole, mm-hmm. and I still am. I mean, I'm still really, I think the sport's been really exciting the last few years, and the pitch clock, that spoke directly to somebody like me. So I might have been one of those casuals that people get annoyed with, but I watched the World Series last year. That was the first World Series I've been dialed in a long time. I knew a bunch of the players. That had never been the case.
I will tell you this. I think we talked about this real quick, because I always said, like, I just give up emotionally, and I think I watched more of it because it was on Fox, and then it was right before, and then I did really want the Dodgers to beat them. I was annoyed with Yankee fans after that, seeing it live in person. I was really annoyed with them. Go ahead.
Yeah, but all of that is to say, like, yes, and maybe people could talk me otherwise and tell me it's all on one guy, the guy we talk about, you know, the most when it comes to baseball here in this town, which is Dolan, but I have blamed most of the issues just on baseball. That's the way that I've watched this sport. I think it's a miracle that the Guardians have won as many games as they have over the last decade. I know that's not a World Series, but you know, that's a high bar. We don't do that in the other sports. We don't just say Super Bowl or NBA Finals or bust every year. We find joy in the Brown seasons where they win three games. So I'm not going to just say in baseball has to be the World Series.
That's pretty cynical joy, though. That can be real sarcastic.
There's also no way that if the Browns were 5-5, they would go, okay, we're going to trade off the guy that everyone loves and one of our best players on the team.
I mean, too. For the love of God, in the face of what a lot of people thought was not the best decision for their future, they paid Myles Garrett more money. They paid him more money.
But then
kept him around for the rest of his career.
But then, that's right. I present that as a baseball problem, unfortunately.
Yeah,
in a market like this.
I agree with you.
I think it's just a reality. I mean, people can tell me that, you know, the Dolans, who this was earmarked to sell. A couple of years ago, we had heard they were in the transition process of selling. And I wonder a lot about that too, with the economics of baseball, work stoppage coming up, a minority owner who we haven't really heard from. I mean, don't you think that's kind of bizarre? We never hear from David Blitzer. We never hear much at all from David Blitzer.
He's a minority owner.
He has the money to buy the team.
What am I supposed to hear from, though? Is he supposed to say anything as a minority owner? Like, I'm asking a question here. I don't know.
I mean, this is a guy who is a part of the...
You haven't heard from Charles Woodson either yet.
But he's now one of the biggest sports. Isn't he coming to town? Aren't we getting...
I would assume.
I thought they were going to do a whole thing.
Did Usher hold press conferences?
He absolutely did talk. I do remember that. Dan Gilbert brought him aboard.
Turned his chair around and sat right down.
Yeah, he did bring him.
We know Miles has spoken.
Yeah, so all I'm saying
is... Kind of points the tone.
All I'm saying is that this team has been for sale. It has not been sold. Now you've got a work stoppage coming. I don't know what the future is. I don't know. To me, they're a distressed asset. The lack of local money. They're losing now, you know, 50 to 60 million a year that they would have had otherwise previously. I'm just
tell me you hate baseball and you hate the Guardians.
Well, I do.
He hates the Guardians.
I hate the economics of the sport. I don't know how. By the way, I don't know how you wouldn't. I don't know how you wouldn't. If this was baseball or basketball, and every team,
I don't know, because it's something that we've all done. 4 years old, I played my first baseball game. I love it. I don't know why I love it. I just do.
Yeah,
it makes no sense why I love it. We do all of this because we love sports, mm-hmm. right? And if there's a really good tennis match on, we'll probably watch it, right? If it's the Masters on, we're going to watch it. We love sports. I love baseball. I don't understand why I still plan on going to the ballpark. We still have the passes. I don't know why I want to do it, but I do. But it pisses me off, this situation. I looked, 2023, right?
Yeah.
You traded Aaron Civale. I was pretty upset then, but understood that he's a pitcher and it's once every five games, you know, he gets to affect the team. But I just looked at the numbers. It was July 30th. He started. They won the game. They were a half game out of the division, a half game behind the Twins, six games out of the wild card. They traded him away and they were 54-54. Sorry, 53-53.
And as agitated as I am right now, I haven't said a word about being angry about Shane Bieber. I understand that.
Yeah.
But Stephen Kwan makes no logical sense. If they do it today, I'm sure they'll get a bunch of prospects and they'll talk about where these guys are ranked in the prospectus. And I'll try to I'll try to swallow it as best I can, but I'm going to be upset.
And then they'll put Will Wilson in left field. And all.
Hold on. The logical sense part, you did agree they were not going to sign him. So they were going to. They were always going to trade him. You just think it doesn't make logical sense because they're going to trade him a year
still
early.
Have 2 years of arbitration.
To do it now. And my issue is, and this is where it gets to the problem of baseball, and then we go in a circle because I say, well, Paul Dolan's one of the owners in baseball, so it's still a problem with Paul Dolan, is, well, the argument, how much do you pay him? Well, we can't afford to overpay anybody. We can't afford to pay a batting average leadoff guy. Well, you don't have power anyway, and you don't have power really in the system that you can count on. I'm sorry, Jace LaViolette is going to be in the system for at least 4 years. So you don't have anybody in the system who you can really count on. And Manzardo, who hit 2 home runs the other day, you just won't play him. So again, you just continue to spike your own argument if you're the Guardians. However, when it gets to the monetary thing about it, you can't give me this crap. And I said this even last night. You can't give me this crap about how he wants to play on the West Coast. For years, a lot of guys wanted to play college football in the South. It's amazing what money can do to change people's minds. It's amazing. I'm sure that there's plenty of guys, Myles Garrett, who's from Dallas, Arlington, Texas. Myles Garrett, you give him a bunch of money, all of a sudden he wants to stay here in Northeast Ohio for the rest of his career. Plenty of guys, you give them a bunch of money, they want to stay in Northeast Ohio. You know, Donovan Mitchell isn't here for the love of the game. I don't mention Jose Ramirez because Jose Ramirez is a special case, and that's why he gets a statue and the other two probably
the
don't.
The problem with that example is there are multiple teams on the West Coast that will pay a lot more.
And that is my issue where it's going. If you can't afford it, then get out of the business. Many business owners it all the time in different different walks of
life. I've beaten that horse to death. It's been 15 years of talking about that.
And you know it, and I know it now. And this is what you just, and I know we're way over, and I'm going to get out right here. We'll go right to Jeff on the update, all right? But you just kind of laid it out here. When's David Blitzer going to take over? Probably not until after this work stoppage is done. And that's not until 2027. And I got Bryce Harper going eyeball to eyeball with Rob Manfred last week saying, I'm not afraid to lose 162 games. So you're looking at 2027, 28 by the time that happens.
Be a pretty rough time to get into the small market baseball business.
You laid it out. Why would David Blitzer want to take over full operational ownership of this team without that national television contract that they're still trying to pound out right now, without that local money, where you can't even sell your entire ad breaks that are going through. Don't think Lyman and I haven't noticed about that. Why would David Blitzer want to take over full? Why would he want to do that? You can buy it low, maybe, but then again, you got to get the guy to agree to sell it to you. I say Joe Flacco will be your week one starter, should be your week one starter. Any of the histrionics, any of the craziness, I think that's gone. I do think there's something to be said for Dylan Gabriel and Shedeur Sanders, but if it were to click into where I'm at, it should fall in where Joe's the starter. We'll see where Kenny Pickett is after the injury, which we'll find out probably later on today. A little bit more information about that, obviously. They were off yesterday. They put the pads on today. We heard that from Adam Schefter about the injury with Kenny Pickett. So we'll hear more about that later on today. But if it's of any significance, and a hamstring is a significant enough injury where you don't want to hurry it back because then you can re-aggravate things, then you're out for even longer. Take your time. I ain't got nothing. I know I've had plenty against Kenny Pickett in the past. I got nothing against Kenny Pickett now. If he goes out there and he plays well, he goes out there and he plays well. But I'm in no hurry to bring him back and hurry up a bad situation or anything like that. I think it puts more on Dylan Gabriel. It puts more on Shedeur Sanders. They both have an opportunity to be the main backup here now. We'll see what they do there. But when it comes to just common sense, calming it down, trying to start the season off on the right foot, to me, and you may disagree, it should be Joe Flacco who's the starter, and this thing should be sewn up already.
Yeah, I think we... I don't know.
If you disagree, fine. I mean, let me have it.
No, it seems like me and you have kind of said this for a while. However, we've gotten some pushback from some of those that are like, well, what about Shedeur? What if he's Jaden Daniels? What if, I don't hear much about that from Dylan Gabriel, but obviously Dylan Gabriel is taken ahead of Shedeur. We continue to always be confronted with that reality. So I don't think either of us are like, no, by any means necessary, Shedeur or Dylan Gabriel can't start week one, but we're like a special set of circumstances would have to happen for that. And it would start out with Shedeur or Dylan being so amazing and spectacular that we could not ignore their presence. And I don't know how we're going to see that considering they're buried. Or they've been buried.
It's still day two and day three picks, guys. The whole what if they're Jaden Daniels or what? What if they're not? Because more than likely they're not going to be.
Yeah, odds are against it. Like big
people,
time.
You got to understand. People bring up these examples because they're the ones that we remember. You know, there's plenty of people who tried to start their own companies that are not named Bill Gates and Steve Jobs. You don't remember them. You don't know who they are because they're all losers in your eyes. So they tried to start their own companies out of their garages, and they ended up flopping like millions and millions of other people. But, well, what if you could be Steve Jobs, or what if you could be Bill Gates, or what if you could be God knows who? What if they're Jaden Daniels? Yeah, you don't bring up the other guys because you don't remember them. You don't remember fifth-round guys or third-round guys. That doesn't really – but usually it goes that way. So if you're going to say, well, what if they're Jaden Daniels? Okay, well, I guess you could always do what-if-ism, but I could always say, hey, what's the hurry here? What hurry am I in to put Shedeur Sanders or Dylan Gabriel out there? I'm in no hurry to put them out there. Why must I hurry this? Well, because you guys want something to see? I want them to be out there on their best foot that they possibly can be. I can't keep training wheels on them forever. I understand that. But damn, it is a 18-week season with 17 games in the thing.
Thank you. The season's never been longer. And that December comes around, and you know me. I've been talking about, granted, we had a great run 2 years ago. Last year, I was like, I am so bored by the NFL. It seems like all the playoff teams are pretty much cemented, that we're just playing out of string. There's so much time. There's so much time to figure that out later in the year. I agree with you. I don't see the rush, and I don't think it's a scenario where why would the Browns, you know, hold back, you know, this enthusiasm on maybe they just think that, you know, where they took these guys, they're that far away. They're not close enough to being to being legitimate factors in the football season, at least in the early portion of it.
Now, I think that Joe could do what's maybe the best thing for everybody, because the biggest argument now is who's going to be the backup. That's who you're watching. And the backup in Cleveland's always going to be a very popular until we find our franchise quarterback, the backup in Cleveland's going to be a very popular person. Shedeur has an opportunity here to be the main backup. He does have that. You can't say he doesn't. I would say Dylan's certainly the leader, but Shedeur could go out there in these three preseason games or in the joint practices, start throwing the football around, looking good. I know he looked good the other day. He could start looking good. The offense could start to click with him. He's got the body size that you would want. He's got the type of temperament, the type of quarterback that Kevin Stefanski would want. I know that it fell to him in the fifth round instead of them going out and getting the guy, and that would probably mean that they went out and they got Dylan Gabriel. They wanted him, and they got him, so that would still put Dylan ahead of him as of this morning. But there's an opportunity now for Shedeur,
yes,
to be that primary backup and be the guy that comes in. Eventually, you would assume, when the wheels get shaky with Joe Flacco. And I don't know when that point comes. I'm not waiting for the first 6 weeks. If he looks like he sucks against the Ravens in week two, then fine. I'll open up that conversation for week three. I don't care about that. The first six games doesn't matter as much to me as it might matter to anybody else. I just want to see the veteran start the season off, get this thing going the right way, let Shedeur stand on the sidelines, see what an NFL game is really like at full speed with ones-on-ones, and then maybe it comes to them at some point if Joe's not able to carry it. Because you might get to a point where, yeah, Joe's not doing so great, and people are going to be groaning, and people are going to be really wanting to see Shedeur Sanders or Dylan Gabriel. Probably not as much as you know who on that Thursday night against the Jets, but they're probably going to want to see him, and I got no problem putting them in the right position and waiting on that. And I don't think that anybody should have a problem with it either, because the whole Jaden Daniels argument to me, it is the exception. It's not normally the rule. And that is the end of that. Go ahead. Sorry.
Training camp coverage powered by Genesee Brewing Company and Window Nation.
All right. I don't like to play the audio too terribly much from this show. Not that I got anything against the guy. It's just every time we take a young quarterback, he always seems to have a big conversation piece about this guy, a lot of opinions about the guy, and I think it turns into that guy's review show. However, there was a theory that was shared last week that I have to play for everybody because people thought it was nuts. Guys, I don't think it's that nuts. Hit it.
This is the worst kept secret in the South. Haslam, Jimmy, owner of the Browns, huge SEC Tennessee booster, leans heavily on the Manning family. Arch Manning is part of the Manning family, and this is where Nick Saban comes in. Saban is incredibly close to not only Jimmy Haslam, but Saban's close to the Manning family as well. And so Saban, if he could land, I'm told, a top quarterback like Harbaugh going to the Chargers for Herbert, he would take a phone call for the NFL. And there are two teams guaranteed to be awful this year in the NFL, Cleveland and the Saints. Nick Saban has coached in Cleveland with the Browns under the Belichick staff, and he coached at LSU. This is not a conspiracy theory. Haslam's circle of trust, according to an article in The Athletic last year, is the Manning family and Jimmy Sexton and Bill Parcells. Sexton is Nick Saban's agent.
Audio courtesy FS1. Immediately people start rolling their eyes. Guys, they're obsessed with finding a franchise quarterback. They're obsessed with doing what they need to do to find a franchise quarterback. None of that is crazy. None of what he says is crazy.
Well, the Nick Saban part is crazy.
I don't think that that's crazy either. Why is that crazy?
He'll be 74 next year. You want a 74-year-old guy who's never had any success in the NFL?
74 is the new 44.
You want that guy to be the head coach? I'm not saying you, but like maybe you would. I don't know. Would you want
Nick Saban to be the head coach of the Browns?
Would you have taken Belichick?
Would I?
Because when we talked about Belichick, felt like nobody was on my side on that.
No, you know what? You know what? I would have taken Belichick. I think that now the whole Jordan Hudson thing is in our heads.
Okay.
So I'm trying to be honest with you. I got to go back to back then and would have said, like, hey, if they would have moved on with Kevin Stefanski, would you have taken Bill Belichick? Like, yeah, I would have taken Bill Belichick. I would have been open to it.
Well, it just seemed like when I brought up any prospects of Belichick, like, bailing on what was going on at North Carolina for an NFL job, people were like, oh, my God, Belichick is washed up. And it's just so funny to me that Belichick is the guy that's clearly had the unbelievable all-time, you know, head coaching success in the league we're talking about. Nick Saban's had none of that. And would there be a genuine excitement about him taking over at age 74, the Browns?
I don't know how people wouldn't be excited about Nick Saban. And if it were, this is the scenario that plays out. Nick Saban ain't coming here without Arch Manning, right? According to what Colin Cowherd just said,
now is that
audio courtesy FS1, right?
Is that Arch Manning after this coming season or after 2 years?
I would imagine it'd be this coming season.
Just remember,
you got two first round picks for a reason this year.
Yeah, but wasn't all the talk about he's no way he's coming out after this year?
Then maybe that's why that they position themselves there. I still think that that's going to be a tough sell.
But do I got to wait for Saban to be 75?
You might have to wait for Saban to be 75. 75 is the new 45.
I got bad news for you on the Saban Belichick age thing, right? It doesn't have Saban's actual birth date, but he was born in 1951 and Bill Belichick was born in 1952. So Saban's actually older.
So Belichick's a spry chicken in comparison.
And he's got the 24-year-old around there.
Well, that's all. That's going to make him younger.
That makes him 45.
I don't know. Miss Terry, has done a nice job.
Nick Saban's got Miss Terry with him. And she is a calming presence.
Does he eat the same chicken salad sandwich every day or something for 40 years?
Oatmeal pies. He won't say the whole name because he knows better. He knows his players well. He ain't saying that whole name. He has the cup of coffee and two oatmeal pies every single day. That's a football guy right there. You tell me you wouldn't take Nick Saban just because he's old?
No, what I'm saying is I wanted Belichick at some point, and everyone's like, he's too old. But then you can't say Nick Saban. You can't say you'd want Nick Saban, but Belichick's too old.
I would have been a little bit questioning of it because I think we saw what Belichick was without the greatest quarterback of all time, and people were lining up to go after him. Plus some of the things that he had done, I thought the Matt Patricia thing was inexcusable. When he put him as an offensive coordinator, when you have a rookie quarterback or a second-year quarterback, I should say, I thought that that was an inexcusable mistake personally. And I thought he set his own team up for failure, talking about Belichick.
Yeah.
So that would have been a thing where if they would have taken Bill Belichick going into last year, and I've been like, hey, it's Bill Belichick. You're like, he's a great coach. We'll see how it works. I think I'll do the same with Nick Saban, and I don't have the added plus of he did this to ruin his own franchise. He did that to get in the way of his own franchise. I think Saban is as obsessed with winning as anybody would find. How could he not listen to that sort of offer? If the Browns end up being in that position and everything that we know is true, where they are obsessed with finding a franchise quarterback and they were willing to go just bonkers when it comes to the Mannings, when it comes to putting Arch in the right position, not only are we going to put Arch in the right position, we're going to get one of the two greatest coaches of all time. And I know he wasn't very good in the NFL the first time around, but he'll always say he didn't have his quarterback. Now he has his quarterback. How can we set this thing off on the right foot with you, with somebody you trust? And then when Nick's done, say give Nick 3 years. Say 78, 77 years old by the end of it. Nick's there for 3 years, get you started off in the right direction, and then we pick the next coach for you, as we do with everybody. It seems bizarre to say it, because as of right now, on July 28th, it is bizarre to say it. But I think this could make a lot of sense come in January. He's taking shots at Jerry Jeudy.
Yeah, what was that?
The problem. Stay in your lane and stick to putting wide-eye emojis with your articles. Know what you do. Also, Kabali coming after us. Tone, Kabali coming after us.
Why us?
He just tweeted.
Didn't do anything wrong.
Was Mark Kabali listening to the pony part of Around the AFC North?
Well, he's one of the biggest writers of Steelers in Pittsburgh, right?
Oh, he's the writer of Steelers.
He's got to be listening to all of the national media hits, all of the local coverage, right?
And yeah.
Taking it in and writing the best stories about the Steelers.
He just tweeted at me. Twitter Reactions brought to you by Schaub & Jewelers, Coons Premier Jewelry Store. He just sent me a picture of a t-shirt, and it says, "Hating Pittsburgh won't make Cleveland better." And I go, that's odd timing.
Mm-hmm.
Was Kabali listening?
We do, I swear. We see the numbers. Our Pittsburgh listenership, they must just be bored now, with Steelers football.
I'm not going to accuse Mark Kabali of ripping us off the way that, well, I don't need to accuse it. I have proof that they rip us off on the PM team in Pittsburgh, but that's neither here nor there. We have the numbers that people do listen.
Yeah, it's incredible. There's no
not
other...
Just here.
There's no, obviously we're big in Ohio and all around because we've got Cleveland sports fans all over the Buckeye State. But then after that, it's Pittsburgh every time. And I'm like, don't you guys listen to the Pittsburgh, to our sister station
no,
in Pittsburgh?
They don't.
And they don't.
Well, so, they listen to them. They must listen to them in the afternoon to some level.
I don't know how they keep...
I get tweets from people in Pittsburgh going, they're ripping you guys off. They're ripping you off on this. They're ripping you off on that. I go, but well, I can't just take producer credits for all these shows that rip us off.
I don't know how they keep the lights on, quite frankly, over there.
We keep the lights on, quite frankly, over there. Obviously, if they're ripping us off. Yes. So you keep the lights on in two different places.
I've been wondering where this... There's an extension cord plugged in here. It runs all the way to
Pittsburgh. All the way to Pittsburgh.
Don't trip over it.
All the way down there. Kabali taking shots. Something about him. You see a guy and you're like, I think I get along with you. There's something about that guy. I think I like him. I don't know what it is. Kevin Stefanski, 9 o'clock, his live press conference. We aren't crazy, right? This is the first thing we heard yesterday. This is the first thing we heard. Browns have two new QBs. They're getting a new stadium in 4 years. You have all this stuff that's like new. Offense is new, but back to where it was. And the first thing that I heard addressed was this.
And we'll start with any football questions you all have.
Jimmy, the season hasn't even started yet, and the Browns are already being linked to Arch Manning. Is this your comment about the buzz, the potential buzz as the season goes along?
Well, Tony, you know you're in the business, and you get paid by how many hits you get, okay? And I think if you know the Manning family, I would bet that, and I don't know Arch at all, okay? I bet he stays in college 2 years, so that's, I don't even think that's worth discussing.
The first one out of the box. Ooh, yesterday.
Gotta get right to it.
He was asking about Arch Manning.
Well, there's only one way to know how he feels about it. You gotta make sure you don't know how much time you're gonna get. They could cut off those
guys.
I watch a lot of press conferences, Ken, and somebody always steps in. It's like, oh, darn it, I had more questions. So then you lead with it to make sure you get it in.
New stadium, two new QBs, got Dylan Gabriel, a good strong man with a good head on his shoulders. You got Shedeur Sanders, another fine young man with a good head on his shoulders. Got a very famous dad. We got new stadiums right around the corner here. We're asking about
Judkins too.
Arch Manning got a new season coming around, and here's Arch Manning. Like, well, I will say this. I will say it was a little, to me, it was a little early, but I'll tell you, again, I don't put anything past it because it's the same organization that traded for Odell Beckham Jr. And yeah, I know that that was a guy that works in Detroit now. It's the same organization that traded for Deshaun Watson. They're not afraid of making big, strong moves. So going back to what was said on Monday, I ain't afraid to talk about that, and I ain't afraid to speculate on that because it's the Cleveland Browns, and they've made strong moves. Some, and you can't say Odell was a total whiff. I mean, he did have 1,000 yards on this football team. He just wasn't as good as what we thought he was going to be. That's clear. If Baker was in the position he is now and Odell was in the position he is then, I think it would have really, really worked. But you know what? If ifs and buts and all the other things. It is fair to speculate. Fair to speculate all day long. Fine. I happen to agree with Jimmy. I think he is going to stay two more years, Arch Manning. But, yeah, you're going to have the conversation a little bit.
What, you don't think he's ready right now based on, I mean...
I don't think he's ready. I think that they're going to be very, very, very careful with what they want to do.
I mean, against the Buckeyes, he had one carry. Clemson, he had three. Georgia had one carry. Now, he did not throw a pass anyway.
Why are you taking shots at Arch Manning? This could be our future quarterback. People are going to record this.
I understand
that.
Is he a quarterback?
The Mannings hold grudges.
He is a quarterback,
yes. Because he ran the ball... five total times in the postseason.
I didn't say this.
He threw it zero times.
For the family of Arch Manning that might be listening out there, Kabali's listening. I'm not the one saying this.
Quarterback family.
You're right. You know what? He is a quarterback.
Mr. Manning, sir, I'm not saying this.
He is a quarterback because he did against Louisiana Monroe. He did complete 15 of his 29 passes. And
29 passes.
Threw a couple of interceptions.
Had 29 passes in that game.
So, I mean... I'm sure he had a big offense.
Monroe, Louisiana, known as the hotbed.
Why do you feel you need to take shots? Is this an football. Ohio State thing out of you?
Oh, we're going to see him. High noon.
Why are you... But there's no reason to take shots at your future quarterback. Do you have any hot takes about South Carolina football in your head right now?
I want to know...
Do you have any hot takes about Penn State football you'd like to get off your chest? Hell, that kid's local. You want to go tell his family?
By the way, Ohio State, 2.5-point favorites. Go ahead and eat, Buckeye fans. 2.5 right now. I think that is easy money.
Carmen and Classe live on the fan, allegedly.
You got Ryan Day coming off the monkey is off his back. I mean, clearly the top coach.
Not according to what that
football.
Michigan defensive end said.
What did he say?
He said the national championship doesn't count because they didn't beat Michigan. I go, that's not the way it works, buddy. That's not the way it works. Don't take shots at Arch Manning.
I do think it is.
Do you think he could actually not be good?
No, I have no idea. I haven't seen him play football.
How have you not seen him play football?
He doesn't play football.
He's on TV constantly.
He was. I watched the playoffs last year. I saw him as an H-back.
And because Quinn Ewers was the starter.
Well.
Then he was the sixth-round pick of the Dolphins. But you didn't see him in high school?
I saw him sitting the bench... And I did see when Jack Sawyer picked up that loose ball and ran down into the other end zone.
It was an amazing play.
I did see him quickly in the background, quickly like, oh, no, I guess we're losing.
Was definitely an amazing play. Was definitely an amazing play.
Where would you rank that play in your Buckeye life, Anthony?
Freaking amazing.
What are you going to do?
And okay. Now, where would Arch Manning rank that?
But you don't think that Arch Manning is going to be bad. I know you're taking shots. I don't know why you decided, Art. Do you think he's going to be bad?
I think it's kind of funny that everybody's just assuming he's going to be the number one overall pick next year. If he had any other last name, would people be saying he'd be number one overall?
And all right, that's
would
fair.
Would we get
that's
a
fair.
Question? Would it
that's
lead
fair.
Off the questions for a coveted Jimmy Haslam press conference? In fact, a Jimmy and D press conference, a duel. We got both. You got two Gallics and you got two Haslams.
That's fair.
One-on-one.
That is,
Do you have to tag the other man or woman?
I have to concede that. He ain't getting asked about Lenore Sellers, and he ain't getting asked about Drew Aller, and he ain't getting asked about The kid from Texas A&M, he ain't getting asked about Garrett Nussmeier. So you are right about that. I grant you that. But I do think part of it is that he has, well, if his last name wasn't Manning, maybe they wouldn't have made such a big damn deal about him in high school. So I still have to go back that far. But I don't think he's coming. I agree with Jimmy. I don't think he's coming out this year. So it's a conversation that, again, you still need to have in the front offices.
If he was amazing.
You have to have that conversation. But you have you talk a lot of things.
Yeah, if he comes out in, man, what do we got? One month, we've got that kickoff. And if he dominates Ohio State's defense, all right, well, maybe we'll come back to me and I'll feel pretty foolish about the audio. But I do laugh that, to make the assumption today that he's going to be the number one overall pick, especially when, like you said, and like Jimmy Haslam said, everybody around the kid thinks he's staying 2 years.
He stays 2 years. I think it's worth for us to talk about as we approach the Ohio State game. I think it's worth of us to talk about depending on what he does after the Ohio State game. I think Ohio State is a fair litmus test by the fans. I can't believe I'm saying that because they are the best team in the country coming off a national championship. They're one of the best teams in the country, and that matters to fans. How you perform in big games against Ohio State matters. And I'm not just talking about Arch Manning. Drew Aller's a local kid. You know I like him. But at the same time, you got to perform against Ohio State. You did not perform against Ohio State last year. It's not going to put everybody in your good graces. If you get a chance to play against the Buckeyes and you don't perform well, Browns fans are going to hold that against you. Flat out. When do they play? Don't they play just after Halloween this year in November? I want to say in November, Ohio State and Penn State play. I mean, let's be honest. For his NFL career, depending on where the Browns are, it could be an all-or crash course. You're playing for your career with this fan base right there in that game. It ain't fair, but it's the truth.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.